Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Is this like all you guys do? Sit around and talk about bands nobody cares about?
All right, this has been a lot of fun.
It's been a ton of fun. It really has.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just recording these episodes.
Beautiful.
You know, hanging out with the peoples, listening to all the music, all that is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah. And today here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Another guy who I've just met in person, you know, yesterday, but
yeah.
I feel like I've known him for some time. David Lane. Hey, David.
Hey. I was just thinking to myself what a joy it is to be with like-minded people, talented people, and people I feel like I know. Like you said, we may have met the first time yesterday, but I feel like I know everyone here. What a great weekend this has been. Just tremendous.
Oh, well, thank you for hosting the live band karaoke last night.
I had a little power last night.
Yeah, you were born to do that role. It was great,
man. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and Frank Muffin really brought it, and just allowing people to come up and sing with them, that's a treat for all of us.
It was incredible. Or drum, one of the two.
Yeah. So how many people here have knew David Lane before this event? Do we got a couple?
My wife is here.
I just want to ask you guys. He seems like the kind of person who just lights up a room wherever he goes. Am I right about this?
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay.
How about that? I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's all.
Hard to follow that up.
Well, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I was checking into the hotel yesterday, and they asked me if I wanted a cookie. And I don't eat a lot of sweets.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't want a cookie. Somehow David just appeared. I want a cookie.
He got it. Heck yeah, I want it. I took two. I took yours and mine.
Yeah. Great.
And not much is free at that hotel in the room.
Right.
It's $2.50 for a bottle of water if you drink. My wife says, don't drink that water. They're going to charge you $2.50. Yeah. So I can take all the free cookies I can get
from
that place.
There you go.
So I had a couple of things I thought about talking about. A couple of friends of mine and I recently have been talking, because I tend to play and listen to old music and kind of get stuck in my ways. So this topic of conversation came up where we thought about whether music was better back then, or we just related to it more, and there's significant moments in our life that we related the music we listened to. And so we kind of got into this really long discussion about whether or not we just remember it fondly, and that's why we think it was better music back then, or it really was better music back then.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of it's tough in my mind, because I do tend to like the stuff I've always liked, and try to open my mind to newer stuff. But I think there's kind of a combination of both answers being right, where maybe we relate to it, and there's some sentimentality attached to it, but I still think maybe some of it was better, or you know. Different, and it's a tough call for me to answer that question. And then the second thing I thought I might talk about, and it kind of goes along with the first, are bands that we love that never quite broke it as big as we thought they should break it. And since we're in Chicago, I thought of a band from Zion, Illinois, The Shoes, which is a band that is one of my absolute all-time favorite bands. And they actually had a run. Rolling Stone rated their present tense album one of the top 100 records of all time.
I tried to move.
But I still never thought they quite got the due that they deserved. Yeah. And, you know, bands like The Knack and even Cheap Trick and The Kings, they all had a hit song, and The Shoes never really made it to that level. And yeah. That Present Tense album, especially 1979, right when New Wave was hitting. And I kind of more think they're a power pop band, but they were labeled as New Wave. And so yeah, those are the two things that if anyone wanted to chime in, you know, I'm a Replacements fan too, and they sabotaged themselves to not make it. I think The Shoes were dying to make it. My father actually went to see them in Zion, and there were like five people in the audience.
Is that right?
Oh, and they gave them a signed copy of an album called Shoes on Ice, which was them playing in a ice skating rink.
Right.
So I played in a high school band with Hans, and we ended every show we ever did with the Shoes song Hate to Run, which has this huge, Hans was a drummer back then, a huge drum solo at the end. So I just always thought that song, everyone should have known that song called Hate to Run, and I'm not sure many people knew it. I saw them 5 years ago, and we kept screaming, play Hate to Run. They might not have even remembered how to play that song. Yeah.
Having this conversation yesterday, or was somebody, we were talking about Tommy Keane.
That's right, Tommy
Keane.
You
know? Yep. When we're talking about power pop and so on, somebody who just, when you hear his records, you're like, why wasn't this guy, you know, famous at all? Like,
exactly.
Not at all, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Not
and,
even at all.
You know,
I mean,
and
to an extent, Alex Chilton kind of faded away, and the Replacements, you know, made him more known,
right.
But he had made so many great records that no one had really heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they threw that song on Please Meet Me album.
Do you have any ideas like that?
The only thing I'll say, and this band is really...
I have another good one.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay. I'm not sure necessarily if this band deserved to be famous, but I think they deserve to be known by more people than they're known to, which is probably very, very few. Does anyone know a band called Souled American? S-O-U-L-E-D, American. They made sort of alt-gothic country records that are just so stunningly beautiful, and there's four of them. They were so, like, underappreciated that they had to put their last two out on a German label. There wasn't even an American label that would put their records out. But that's one for me. Like, I can't understand how they fused all these elements of Americana and country music and, like, old, weird public domain songs like Anthology of American Folk Music stuff and put it all together so brilliantly. Their records are like molasses, like slowly pouring over you, and I just think they're so beautiful, and I don't understand, you know, why nobody, you know, even knows them.
Another second.
Okay, I got another one. I know a lot of people in this room will agree with this. Should be much, much bigger, right? Jayhawks.
There you go. That's a great example, Jim. Yes, it's fantastic. A
great amazing records, right?
Yes, and, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can think of several that other bands seem to be derivatives of, you know, that, okay, they all sound like maybe the Jayhawks or somebody else that you thought should have made it, and then you hear all these other bands that sound like they do.
Yeah, who did it. Yeah. Well, Tommy Keane had that with the Gin Blossoms. He sure thought that their hit was pretty much taken cut and paste from his riffs. Yeah.
Anybody else have examples on this topic? You know, bands that you don't understand why they aren't bigger than they are? Bands, artists, so on.
No? Oh,
yeah. Somebody says the DBs.
That's a great example.
Now, what was the first thing? Was music better?
Right. Is it just because it's sentimental to us? Or
I think so. Okay. I think, you know, my sense is that I think every generation sort of feels like the music that was important to them when they were at, you know, the age where music is important to you, younger age typically, right, then dismisses the next, you know, wave of music, next generation of music. I think that's just... that cycle just always repeats, but I also kind of understand it because, like I said, people go through a point in life where pop music like really is like super important. Yeah. It like in a lot of ways it helps you get through, you know, difficult, you know, growing years, right? And it doesn't have often that same kind of impact when you get to be 70 like me.
Yeah.
And so it's different.
Early, we're all early here 70s. To celebrate early, music. Early so 70s, it still has enough of an impact where we're here today.
It does. It does. But you know, but we're not the normals. And so so I think there's that. But that is what I think it is to a large extent. Yeah.
And Van Hagar said it best, only time will tell if we will stand the test of time. So
I think Brittany wanted to say something. Do you want to come in? Come on in.
Just a small comment on it is that I feel like the corporatization of music has played a big part of it in that if you're really focused on just stuff that's charting and is like known nationwide, I do think there's definitely a decrease in the complexity of some of the music and things like that are coming through and really great. But obviously the nostalgia factor is one we've already talked about. But when you go back and you start digging more into the indie music and the self-published music and finding local stuff, there are so many hidden gems that have never made it. So that really kind of opens up a lot of those floodgates into, there really is still absolutely incredible music being made, but is it hitting the ears of the general public? Right. Is it popular enough? Maybe things are just a little too niche right now. I don't know if that's where things are or, but I just think that's played a role in it. Whereas like, you know, 60 years ago, music executives didn't know what they were doing. They're like, okay, we'll do what you want. And then now they're very, this is exactly what you're going to play. This is exactly who's going to write your songs for you. And you have to go to these recording studios to have it published. So it's a very different world.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Really is. Yeah. Excellent point.
To a certain extent, there's a certain look people have to have. Even those looks get exploited with, you know, alternative music or grunge music. And then all of a sudden you have to look like this band or that
great
band.
Great point, yeah.
And these various singing shows. I often think if they don't have a backstory or a certain look, there's people that won't make it unless they have those things that go along with their talent. So
that's another great point. Absolutely great point.
All right, David, you ready?
Yes.
Ready for the bag of questions?
I had great answers from the other ones, so now I'm going to get one.
You're going to get a terrible question.
Now I'm going to get stumped on this one. Good. That one doesn't fit my personality. That won't help me light up the room.
I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Let's do this one. Okay, here we go. What is something you wish you were told about being an adult? What's something like nobody told you and you wish they had told you?
How hard it is, for one.
Yeah.
How much I don't want to be one, you know? I'd love to stay young forever. People claim sometimes that I haven't grown up. So maybe that's a bad question for me because I've been avoiding some of the responsibilities of adulthood. So, yeah, just how tough it was going to be. And if you have to be serious all the time, it's not worth it. So I would say flip the question and say, tell people you don't have to be an adult all the time.
Oh, all right.
You don't have to act like you're serious all the time.
I thought of this question because my daughter just started her first like career job for, you know, she just graduated college, she just started her career job, and she just texted me the other day and she said, nobody told me how expensive it is to buy lunch.
Oh, really? Yes. Interesting.
Well, why did no one tell me this? What she says. So,
pack of brown bags is 99 right. cents at the...
that's right.
I forgot our sponsor already, but...
the grocery store.
Oh, Jewel Osco.
Jewel Osco.
Yeah, go, yeah. Just go over to the Jewel Osco. Don't you know? And get that. Okay. All right. We're good.
All right. Thank you, David.
And let's see. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Anyone? Anyone?
I'll do it if you want.
Okay. I think we have one more for tomorrow.
Yeah. Sounds okay? Great.
All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow.
And Van Hagar said it best, only time will tell if we will stand the test of time.